Thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
You have something to offer. Amen? Amen? The Lord bless you, and I know you love me so much, it shows on your faces. All right, so John 15:15. I want to bring a message from heaven to you today. It's a message that touches my heart, and I speak on behalf of Jesus on this matter today. And it's a friendship month, and I want to address the whole concept of friendship, okay? Let's address the whole concept of friendship. John 15:15. Okay, we are blessed. All right, so John 15:15. I take this from the NIV, all right, NIV. I no longer call you servants. Listen, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you. Not a prophet, I have called you. Not a minister, I have called you. Not an apostle, I have called you. Not a doctor, I have called you. Not a pastor, I've called you friends. A servant does not know his master's business. I have chosen to relate with you, not as servants. I do not have secrets, but I've taken you as my own. And I've chosen to bring you into a certain dimension of relationship. And I've chosen to call you friends. And that is Jesus speaking. But what that tells me is that, church, there is the Father's business. And this month, as we celebrate friendship, the concept of friendship, we cannot overlook this, Femi. We cannot. We cannot take our focus away from the invitation to be part of God's business. We cannot. The whole concept of friendship has to be addressed. Church, what I'm trying to say in the nutshell is that there is an agenda, Gavin, Siobhan. There is an agenda. We are in the kingdom for a purpose. We didn't get saved and just found ourselves in the kingdom. But God has an agenda. He has a plan. He has a purpose, George. Everything is carefully orchestrated. There is a plan. Nothing is by chance. There is a plan. And it's interesting what he calls the master's business. I come from a business background. I understand business very well. And when it comes to business, it means that there are transactions. How it a spiritual transaction, but something equally very important, there's profit. It means that God also expects to profit. So he has invited every single one of you into a profitable venture. God has interest in planet Earth. It's not the will that any man should die but have eternal life. God has vested interest in what is going on in the world. And so he's chosen to call you. He's chosen to bring you into a special relationship with him. And he has upgraded your status from servanthood to friendship. One of the things friends do with each other is that they share secrets. I tell you one, you tell me one. You know something about secrets is that the more secrets we share with one another, the more we bond. You see, Secret simply means that I have there's a dimension of myself that you may not know. But as you come closer, as you move from church member to become church worker, the church member and the church worker have two different relationships. You know that. You know that's standard. Yeah? So for the church member, Pastor Eddie is a very friendly, nice person. Church member. I'm sure maybe the church worker will differ. They differ. Then among the church members, there are also some that will say, Pastor, I don't want to be a church member. I want you to mentor me. I'm sure they will tell you I'm not a very friendly person. Because if you spell mentoring backwards, it's called torment. So, but God has called us into an inner cycle of friends. What I'm here to present to you today is the reason we are in that cycle. And I want to plead with you never to take your focus away from the reason you are in that cycle. Sometimes we hang around with ourselves so much that we forget the reason we are in that cycle in the first place. Matthew chapter 5. So, what exactly is his interest? Let's look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 13 and 14, if you please, NIV. Matthew 5, 13. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. He said, I've called you my friend, but I've called you as the salt of the earth. You are called. You are called. Again, he goes on to say in the next verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world, and I expect you to be a city set on a hill, and you cannot be hidden. So there is an agenda. And the agenda and the call is that you and I are called as salt and light to our world. Salt and light to our world. Why? He explained in the next verse. Go on. He says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in its stand and give light to everyone in the house. You and I are called to give light to everyone. That is, wherever you go, light has come. This is a calling. He says, I'm calling you friends to step into my inner cycle. And in my inner cycle, I'm going to give you the authority and the power to become salt and light. And wherever you go, your destiny can never be hidden. But why? He says, so that, next verse, he says, in the same way, let your light so shine before men. That is the business, church. That is the business. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good looks. It's not good looks. It's not good looks. It's not good looks. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are talking about influence here. The question is, my brother and my sister, will you sign up for this friendship? Will you sign up for this friendship? Does this call matter to you? Will you accept the hand of friendship, or are we going to stay in our status as servants? A servant does not know the master's business, told you. He said, but I shared with you to understand that I have an agenda on the earth. I need men to see you and give glory, to see your good deeds, not your good looks, though you are good looking, my man. And give glory to your Father in heaven. That is the agenda. We don't have time to compromise. We don't have time to compromise. We don't have time to live a life without results. We don't have the time and the luxury to live a life without results. If we don't understand this, there's the risk and the possibility that somewhere along the line, your life may count for nothing. Today, the church is known as when I tell people, there's nothing that annoys me that when I tell people, say, what do you do? So my Caucasian friends and my business associates, I say, what do you do? I say, I'm a vicar. And they'll look at me and say, well, vicar. I say, yeah, I don't wear a collar. But I say, oh, which one? Are you part of those? They call it the happy, clappy people. Every time they describe the church, I feel like doing happy, clappy across their faces. I say, yes, this is how we do happy, clappy. Happy, clappy, happy. But I also understand the reason why they tag us happy, clappy. They will tag us happy, clappy when we have no result. Happy, clappy means that we see you hop, hoop, hula, dance, but we don't feel you. We don't feel you. It's like you just high all the time. There's no outcome. There's no result. Let men see your good deeds and give glory to your Father. It means you have to stand for something. You have to stand for something. You have to live for something. Your values, your value system has to be sound. You have to have results to show somewhere along the line. You know, I was saying in the first service, I say Usain, is it Usain? Usain Bolt. I've never seen anybody comes on a global stage. They say, what have you come to do? He said he came to run. And all he was doing was dancing. He was dancing, he was chatty, he was here, and he was saying everybody, you know. They did not call him happy clappy, but they said, I am a happy clappy vicar. Did they call him happy clappy? Why you can't call him happy clappy? You know why? Because when they say, oh, your man says, boom, he's gone. You call him happy clappy, he throws in the first goal. Happy clappy, world record. Happy clappy, goal record. Happy clappy. They say, oh, no, this guy is serious here. Thank you. At least someone got it. Someone got it. I've been wondering, where will someone get this? Are you listening? You must subscribe to this, that your light must shine, that you must be a preservative. Wherever you go, you cannot be undermined, not because you are good looking, my friend, because you've got results. There are good things to say about you, not just your good looks. But there are good things to say about you. They feel your effect. He said, the wind comes and he blows. He said, we don't know where it is going, neither do we know where it is coming from. He says, but so is he who is born of the Spirit. He is born never to be ignored because he knows his calling. So, my friend, help me tell your neighbor, you are called. But ask them, will you answer it? Yes. Exactly. Will you answer it? Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call? Or are you going to leave this service today, you know, and come tomorrow morning, somewhere along the line in your life, you're going to compromise. Somewhere along the line in your life, you won't stand for what is true. You won't stand for what's integrity. You won't stand for anything that reflects your value. Somewhere along the line, there's going to be a sharp difference between people of faith and those who are not. Can the Lord count on you that you will respond to that call and say, this call will be the basis of my living. This call will be the judgment, will be the yardstick of my relationship. This call will be the yardstick of my decision. Can this call do that for you? Can you receive this call today? Praise the Lord. But I pray for you that God will give you the grace
to step up in your call. Romans 11, 29. Help me tell your neighbor, say, I'm called.
I am called.
Okay. Romans 11, 29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God has called you. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So you are called. What have you called to do? I just explained to you. Matthew 28. Verse 16. It says, Matthew 28, verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted, like some doubt today. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And then after baptism, he said, then you teach them, amen, to obey everything I have commanded you. Church, we can never fulfill this without having results to show for every area of our lives. We can never fulfill this. Nobody follows average. Oh, interesting, you know, it was very interesting. There was a slight joke today between Bosu and Ayo, you know. Bosu whispered to Ayo and said, we're doing an activity. And we said, say the name of the person. Tell me who you would like to spend the day with and why. So, Mr. Bosu gave the microphone to Ayo and whispered to his ears, spend the day with me, you know. So he laughed. I said, that's like going backwards. So we all laughed. But it's not what we experience every day. Oh, come to Jesus from you. That's like going backwards. It would be nice for you to be a Christian. You Christian? That's like going backwards. That's like going backwards because I'm looking at you. And I've been studying you, and I've been following you. You are average. There's no commitment to anything. You don't stand for anything. You lie like every other person. You cheat like any other person, and you tell me about Jesus. That's like going backwards. I don't believe in Jesus. I'm moral, but I don't do that. That's like going backwards. You see, until we receive the call of Jesus to his inner cycle and understand that he has a plan. The call from the darkness into light is not a call to join a club or a cult. There is an agenda. There is an agenda. There is an agenda to show this world a better way of life. But average people can never show anything the better way of life. Church, are you listening to me this morning? He said, I have called you friends. Because a servant does not know what his master does. And so what he's saying is that I need you to come into my inner cycle and see the agenda and understand that I actually have a motive and a plan of action. And you are that part. And you are part of that plan, of that action plan. What do you want from me, Pastor? I need you to commit to the call of heaven. I need you to live your life like a proper believer that you are. I need you to learn to say no to the negative influences in your life. I need you to say no to the negative people in your life. I need to say no. I need to follow the course of Christ because someone is watching you. The Bible says that we are the epistles that men read. Someone is reading you like a book. And based on what they read of you, they are making judgment calls every day. Every day. Every day. When men read you as a book, what will be their conclusion? Will they say, wow, we are moving upwards? Or, wow, no. We cannot hang out with those guys. That's like going backwards. We know better than them. Oh, we behave better. Oh, and there are certain things. I have friends who are moral beings. They don't believe in God, but they are very nice people. They don't believe in God, but they are just nice. They're just nice. No violence, no streak of violence, no alcohol, no drugs, nothing. They just go, just moral, and they come back. God has not called you to be a moral being. He's called you to be spirit-filled, born again, and influence the world through your results by being the light and the salt of the earth. The gifts and calling of God, they are what? They are without repentance. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. He said, For you see your calling, brethren. See that? How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, but not many were of noble birth. Think of what you were before you were called. In other words, God can use everybody. He says, brethren, brothers, sisters. He didn't say pastors, apostles, teachers, evangelists. Think of what you were before you were called. So you were called. God has called you. Are you listening to me this morning? God has called you. The call out of darkness into light is the call of God because he has an agenda. Brothers, think of what you were before you were called. He called you. He called you for a purpose. You know, contrary to what many think, only the pastors are called. If it was only the pastors, he would have said, pastors, the teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets, think of what you were before you were called. No, he said, brothers, think of what you were. It means that God is ready to use anybody. And God can use anybody. And so God wants to use you just the way you are right now. Nothing more, nothing less. And he will use you where you are at the spot and the phase of life you are in right now. Because there are so many people who wish they are where you are right now. That's what I'm saying. But will you, in the name of Christ, give yourself some credit and some attention? Give yourself some credit and give yourself some attention. And value yourself as one of those special people that God has called and invited to his inner circle. Your world needs you. So how long are we going to play the immature game? How long are we going to play the immature game for? How long are we going to do this ostrich style where you put your head in the sand and wish everything will just blow away someday? How long are we going to do that for? How long? How long are we going to just go through life like, you know, nothing matters? You know, I just go to work, I come back, I raise my family, raise my children, make my money, and then I die. How long are we going to do that for? How long are you going to dance to the left and dance to the right? How long are you going to live not standing for something? How long are you going to go with the flow? You know, when the world says east, you go east. When the world says west, you go west. How long? How long are you going to do that for? How long are you going to compromise for? How long are you going to do the things you know in your heart are wrong to do and you still do them anyway? How long are you going to do that for? How long? I tell you what, the more you live like that, a part of you dies slowly. You know why? Because it's not the way you were built. A part of you dies slowly. Part of you dies slowly. That thing that gives you the edge and fulfillment, you gradually wear it off gradually. Gradually. At some point, the whole essence of living and life, you just miss the entire thing. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to answer the call. The call to be in the cycle of Jesus. The call to be a mature Christian, really. You know, sometimes it's very nice to say no, even when it hurts. It's very nice to say, I'm not going with that flow, you know. Yeah, I'm going to be on my own, but, I went on holidays last week. You know, I just ate myself silly. I mean, I ate so much, I was asking God for repentance. It was bad. I mean, seriously, it was bad. I ate so much, my heart was palpitating. I couldn't walk. You see, and the guilty are laughing because the first, They force fed me. It was bad. It was so bad. You know, on our last day when I was coming back, I was feeling seasick because of the food in my stomach. I was feeling woozy, you know. So I came out, I was feeling so I said, "Oh Lord, have mercy, Lord, please forgive me. I have indulged this body. Lord, Jesus, don't come now. I can't be airborne. This food. Oh Lord, help me." You know. You know one funny thing? So I said I was not going to. So we came back on a Friday. So I said, "Oh, you know what? I'm not going to eat." So they said, "Why?" I said, "I miss being hungry." So by Saturday night, I was starving. Now this time, I was in pain. But you know what? I was enjoying the pain. I said, "Oh, I was sad. Oh, it's nice to feel. Nice to feel pain, hungry. It's nice, but it's for my body." It's my body to starve this body a little bit of food, you know? And so though it was painful, but I was, it was like kind of a masochistic agenda, you know? It was painful, but I was enjoying the pain. You know, so sometimes you have to just learn to say, you know what, this decision is not popular, but I choose it anyway. It's painful, but I'm enjoying the pain. I want to stand, let me be the one that will stand on the side of Christ. No, I'm not doing that. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to do that. Yes, my choice is costing me, but let me enjoy the pain for a change. So learn to say no and enjoy the painful process of being left out because you said no. Learn to say, "I won't do it." Every day from today, you will be at the crossroad. Every day you make decisions. 90% of the decisions you make unconsciously. Learn to be part of that process. Your mind says, "Go left." Say, no, that's not a good way. This one is not popular, it's painful, but I choose it anyway because I know it is right. I know it is a nice thing to do. Do the right thing and feel the pain and enjoy the pain. That's what the cross stands for. The cross is not a nice, there was nothing nice about the nails. It was a painful process. There was nothing. Our salvation, man, there was nothing nice about it. There was nothing. It was a painful. You want to try it? Prick yourself with needle and see. There was nothing. Nothing. It was a painful process. And the Bible says, who for the joy of what was set before him, he endured the pain of the moment to liberate you and I. How dare we then come into the cycle and then just do like we don't know what we are doing. You know, you keep tripping over the same mistake over and over again. We need to grow up. The Lord bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. But you know, I must end with this. You and I were our friends. They sent me over. Okay. So it's a message they sent me. You don't shoot the messenger. Yeah? So you and I were on the same side. If you see Jesus, you can harass him. But it's what they sent me, I've come to tell you, isn't it? So are we together? Yes. We are together? Yeah? You and I were on the same boat? Nobody should don't deflate my tires. They sent me. All right. All right? No friendly fire. I was sent. So I have said what they've asked me. Remember what Pastor Femi said last week? After he gave his testimony, he said, "Who? That's off my chest." So, who? That's off my chest. Don't shoot me. All right, let's see up and let us pray. Let's talk to God. Church, the world needs a contrast. And you are that contrast. The world needs a contrast. And you, we want this church to be that contrast. Young, dynamic, contemporary, professional missionaries. You are the contrast. The one who will say no to drugs, no to pornography, no to divorce, no to teenage pregnancy, no to sex before marriage. The church that will stand, that will bring the contrast. You are the one. And you can do it. Talk to God this morning and say, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me to stand true to this calling. Help me to stand true to this calling in the name of Jesus. Help me stand true. Help me, help me, help me. Release upon me the grace the grace to stand for that which is true to your word in the name of Jesus. The grace to be obedient. Lord, we stand as a family, and by your power and by your might, Lord, we stamp out, oh God, the force of compromise. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we release this entire body, Lord, to the spirit of faith, Father, that, Lord, they will stand in the name of Jesus and declare what they believe and live out the same in the name of Jesus. We take authority over any form of spiritual harassment from hell. We liberate your people. Lord, we grant them the spirit of utterance, Father, to speak their heart and stand by it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Cause every path to be straight from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the family say,
amen.
And the family say,
amen.
Amen. Please, you may be seated.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future, which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.